Thanks for tuning in. The following audio is from Redemption Church, located in the heart of San Francisco, California. We are a multi-ethnic, intergenerational church that exists to make disciples. For more information, visit www.redemptionsf.com.
Hey, listen, we're jumping back into the Ten Commandments this week. And really, what you should understand about the Ten Commandments is they're really kind of the crescendo of the book of Exodus. And so if you look at the whole of the book of Exodus, right dab in the middle comes the Ten Commandments. It is really the crescendo of the entire book of Exodus of how God is writing this great story of redemption and freedom for his people. And if you remember, we mentioned this just last week, that the first two commandments, they really launch us into all of the commandments. The first commandment is all about who we worship. The second commandment is all about how we worship. And the first commandment is all about having the right God. The second commandment is all about worship of the right God the right way. And yet the third commandment is how we speak about God. And would you know that how we speak about God is really connected to our worship of God? See, the Ten Commandments are, they're not about restricting your freedom. We've said this before. But they're really about pointing you in the direction of freedom that you really might live out this fullness of life that God intends for his people. And some might say, Chris, I got you, Your minds are working. Some might say the Ten Commandments really are evidence that God is restricting his people, that the Ten Commandments are evidence that the Christian life is all about rules to follow. And yet what I want to put forward to you this morning is that the Ten Commandments is actually more about pointing us to a person to worship. They're not the life of Christianity is not about rules to follow, and yet it is more about a person to worship. Listen, if all of life is about worship, and it is, then how we speak about God is about worship as well. And so we're going to look at one verse this morning, Exodus chapter 20, as we look at the third commandment, Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, listen to the word of the Lord. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Let's say that again. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. This is God's word. Amen, church? Amen. Amen. I want us to sit under this thought this morning. What's in a name? What's in a name? I saw in the news recently, and this really intrigued me because, you know, I lived in kind of the home of Elvis for nearly 10 years and in Memphis, Tennessee. But there in Las Vegas, there were several wedding venues who were given these cease and desist orders just recently. And they were given these cease and desist orders. And if you know anything about Las Vegas, you can have just about anybody, you know, kind of give you your nuptials. We got some engaged folks in here, you know. Ari, you ready to go to Las Vegas to, you know, y'all ready, you know, Andrew, y'all ready to go to Las Vegas to get it done with Elvis? And, you know, you can just get about any character dressed up to kind of perform your ceremony for you. And it's interesting because the company that owns the rights to the name and the image and the likeness of Elvis has said this has gone on far too long. No more. You guys cannot be using the likeness and the image and even the name of Elvis to perform these weddings. Did you know that this thing is so prevalent of folks going to get hitched in Las Vegas that the county that Las Vegas is in, just in February, they celebrated their 5 millionth wedding license, just in that county alone. People are coming from all over the world to be married by Elvis. Like, I'm talking about wig and, you know, just, you know, like, in the middle of the ceremony, just throwing that out. And yet, the business folks have said, you know what, his name is too important to us. And you know what's even interesting? This isn't even in my notes. Did you know that Shaquille O'Neal is the second largest owner to the rights and the likeness and the name of Elvis Presley? Shocking to me when I found that out. Anyway, nobody else cares. But they literally have said, stop it, cease and desist, because they value this name. And really, when we come to the third commandment, this is really what we're seeing. It is God getting on his platform and kind of sending the cease and desist message to all of his people to communicate, do not use my name in vain. And it's this idea that God's name should be held with weight, that God's name should be respected, that God's name should be revered, that God's name should be held high. And it's, you know, this kind of hit me hard this week, and I'll talk about it in a minute. There's things that even I just like, man, like, as I'm studying this and chewing on this third commandment, this kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. But I want to remind you that these commandments aren't a pathway to get to God. Yet they are reminders for people who have their affections set on God. We're reminded God's name is not to simply just be thrown around, that God's name is to be valued, that God's name is to be respected. Yahweh is the name that is given here in our text, that's used here in our text, and it's mentioned some more than 7,000 times in the Old Testament. And did you know that the Jews held this name Yahweh so at such high esteem that they wouldn't actually verbally say it? They wouldn't say it because they were in fear that if they got it wrong, that they would be in violation of the third commandment. And what I love about this is that God tells us what his name is. This is important. Because in our culture, we live in a world where God is whoever you want him to be. Like, God is spiritual. God can have many names. And the third commandment says, we don't get to determine what God's name is. God determines what his name is. I remember y'all was in middle school and, as an adult and passionate about, you know, the things that I care about now, I cringe at the thought of this. But I remember being in middle school, and I've told this story before. I was on a basketball team in middle school, and there were two Chrises playing on the team, and our coach came up with this fancy idea, and he came up to me. He's like, hey, there's two Chrises on the team. We got to figure this out. Who's your favorite basketball player? I'm in middle school. I'm like, Michael Jordan. No question. And here's his response. All right, from now on, we're going to call you Michael so that, you know, So that, you know, we can differentiate between, you know, the two Chrises. And I'm a kid. This is an adult, you know, and an authority figure. I'm like, okay, you know. And then we get to the game, y'all. And we're in the game. And my coach is yelling out, Michael, get over here, Michael. But my mom is there. And my mom is like, who is he talking to? And I just remember after that game, she chewed into him like I have never seen before. Because nobody has the right to rename my child. Like, when she named me, she was really exercising authority over me. And God is expressing his authority when he gives himself his name. Nobody can change God's name. Only he has the right and the authority to give himself a name. But twice we see in our text these words, don't take the Lord's name in vain. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. And the idea there is to disrespect God's name. The idea there is to dishonor God's name. The idea is to use God's name frivolously or carelessly or casually. See, the message of the third commandment, and really all these commandments, have an opposite side, another side. And the third commandment is the exact opposite of that. It is pushing us and nudging us in the direction of the exact opposite of disrespecting and dishonoring and using casually and frivolously the name of God. Even in the New Testament, the disciples asked Jesus, you remember this, we studied the Lord's Prayer. The disciples asked Jesus, Jesus, teach us how to pray. We want to get the results that you get. Help us to learn how to pray so that we can get heavenly results as you have gotten heavenly results. And Jesus says, here's how you pray. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And it's this idea that the name of God should be held in high esteem. The name of God should be held and respected. And the name of God shouldn't just be used casually. There is significance. There's power. There's weight in the name of God. And that's the reason, you know, I don't know about you, but oftentimes when I see award shows, right? You know, you have these artists and these creatives who have created projects that look nothing like God, that resemble nothing of God. And yet, you know, one of the first things that oftentimes they will say when they get up to the mic and, you know, I want to thank God. I want to thank God. And then, you know, I want to thank my mother. But I think there's this idea here in the third commandment. But here's the message following the third commandment is, it's not just about foul language, y'all. It is not just about avoiding OMG, right? It's not just about avoiding kind of that GD language. It's not just about avoiding kind of yelling out, Jesus Christ, when you're driving on the road or you're riding your bike and somebody comes close to you. But it's not exclusively about that. And although I will, you know, tell you that this is something that I feel like God has been dealing with me on primarily this week, because, you know, I was more aware of, as I'm thinking about the third commandment, as I'm studying what it means and what it means for God's people, I was more aware. And you know, I found myself, you know, listen, toddlers will get on your last nerve, and then they'll take that last nerve and they'll just tap dance on it. That's how toddlers roll. And, you know, there's sometimes my son, y'all, he's 3 years old now, he is just pushing the limit in every which way. He's pushing the limit. And there's sometimes where, you know, the other day, this might be TMI, but the other day, and he's potty trained, he knows what to do, but the other day, I guess he just got frustrated, and he was right next to the toilet, and he just stood there, and he just went on himself, and daddy was there to, you know, have to clean it up. And oftentimes when he pushes the limit, y'all, you know, these words come out of my mouth, I kind of whisper them, and yet I became more aware of it this week. Oh my God. Like, cause I'm frustrated. I'm trying not to yell at him. I'm trying not to choke him. You know what I mean? Like, and I just think to myself, like, I'm whispering out loud, oh my God. And here's how I realized this, because oftentimes now, when my son does things that he realized dad's gonna be bothered by, he will whisper these words, oh my God. He's 3. And when he does something that he thinks I'm going to be frustrated by, or he sees my face or my response, I don't even have to say a word. He'll say, oh, my God. And I'm like, oh, look what I've done. Like, I've encouraged my 3-year-old to violate the Ten Commandments. And yet there was this awareness, right, of the need to respect the weight of God's name. the need to respect and to honor God's name. But it's not just about what we say. It's really also about how we live that can take the name of the Lord our God in vain. Let me give you a couple examples. If you claim God's name, if you are not a person and you are not a person of justice, you're taking the name of the Lord in vain. If you claim God's name and you are satisfied with waving a particular political flag, you're taking the name of the Lord in vain. If you're satisfied with fitting in one box over the other and waving your political flag, you just might be taking the name of the Lord in vain. You just might be dishonoring, trampling on his name. If you claim God's name and you stand at the altar of marriage and you say yes before God and witnesses and you turn your back and I'm talking about maliciously, without reason, you turn your back on that same covenant, you take his name in vain. You dishonor and you disrespect the name of our God. It's not just about what you say, but it's also about how we live. So I want to give you four quick reasons as I kind of round third and head for home to respect and to hold high the name of God. And here's the first one. His name is worthy of our worship. It really is. Here's how you hold high the name of God. Here's how you respect and hold it dear. You worship him. His name is worthy of our worship. Psalm 34, verse 3 says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together." Psalm 29 says it this way, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name." Do you know the more we know about God, the more we will worship? The more we embrace the protection of God and God as Jehovah Jireh, the provision of God, and God as our banner. The scriptures remind me this way. It says the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it and are saved. The more we learn about God, the more we'll worship him. Listen, if Steph, and I know he has a game today, if Steph walked into the room right now, what would be your response? Because there's some of us, like, we would clap, we would celebrate. You know, I'm like, man, like, Steph, you're here, don't forget to tithe. No, I'm just playing. joke. if some of y'all, like, Steph doesn't move me, if Taylor Swift walked into the room right now, the master of songwriting, if Michelle Obama walked into the room right now, see, now I can see some of y'all's idols. No, I'm just playing. If Justin Bieber walked into the room right now, I ain't even gonna lie, like, I would be geeked if Justin Bieber, dude, is super. If Trevor Noah walked into the room right now, if he just slid into the room, see, we respond that way because their names hold weight. But how much more is God's name worthy of our response? Worthy of our worship? How much more is God's name worthy of all that we have to give? But here's another way. His name is worthy. His name is worthy to wear. And this is very important for the Bay Area to hear. The Apostle Paul said this way in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is worthy for us to wear. Like, how many people know you even go to church? How many people know that you are a person of faith? And I get it. I understand the challenges that may come. But it's worthy. It is worthy for us to worship. It is worthy for us to wear. And that is really the picture of baptism. That's the sacrament of baptism, that when we go down in the water and we're raised with Christ with new life, it is this symbolism and this picture that I'm going public with my faith and I don't care who knows. Amen. That Jesus is my God and I'm going to bear his name. Are you ashamed to wear his name? Nope. In the most unchurched place in the country. Right here in the San Francisco Bay Area. Are you ashamed to wear his name? But not just wearing his name, not just worship, but his name is worthy to bear. And this is challenging because so often we assume that when we come to Jesus, it will be all prosperity and joy. That when we come to Jesus, that the criticism will just fade away. And yet you and I know that oftentimes when we come to Jesus, those are the very moments we experience being ostracized. Those are the very moments that the criticism and the ridicule is the heaviest. But at times what's interesting is that it may be easy to associate with God and difficult to associate with Jesus. There are some of us who we have come to this place where I'm cool with God, but Jesus is too exclusive. Jesus is, that's a bit far. I'm cool with God. I'm cool with being spiritual. And yet Philippians chapter 2 says it this way, God has given Jesus a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. It's him. And the message is that you can't have one without the other. There is no separating God. There is no claiming God apart from his son, Jesus. It is this idea that when we look at Jesus, when we see him in all of his beauty, when we see him in all of his glory, when we watch and study his ministry, we see God. We see God's character. We see God's love. We see God's provision. I want you to know that that name is not just worthy of worship and not just worthy to bear, but it is also worthy to wear. But lastly and finally, his name is worthy to share. It just is. Like, we ought to be looking for opportunities to share the goodness of the Lord. And it may not look like slapping people over the head with the Bible, but it may look like saying, hey, I would love to share with you how my faith informs that. You're hearing the struggles of your coworker or your friends that are not believers. I'd love to share, man, how my faith helps me with that. Like, I've literally struggled with that, and I've gone through these challenging circumstances, and I want to share with you my story. Maybe you don't mention one scripture reference, but you're telling them about how God loves them and how God cares for them and how God has a plan for them. And you know, because he has affirmed and confirmed that in your own heart and in your own life. Are you sharing that story? Are you sharing the goodness of God worked out in your heart and in your life? Are you sharing all that he's brought you through? Are you sharing the valleys and the mountaintops? His name is worthy to share. And I just want you to know that there's people who may never walk inside of the walls of this church, but they're sitting at your table. There's people who may never come to your small group, but you're on Zoom meetings with them and having happy hour with them, and you go to the same cleaners every week and the same grocery store every week and hearing the stories. Are you faithful to share? So many of us have found ways intentionally to shrink our worlds. We figured out ways, and even if work may be far, but we've figured out ways to shrink our world so that the grocery store we go to is close by, or the market in our neighborhood is close by, or the place we go to regularly have drinks and to wind down or to hang out, whatever it may be, is close by. And yet we have not had those missional eyes to say, God, how would you want to use this shrunken world that's all around me and these relationships to be faithful to share his name? That's God's call on you. That's how you are to live out this third commandment, not just about what you say. It's also about how you live. It's also about how you honor. It's also about how willing you are to bear the criticism. And I've heard it, y'all. I know some of what has been said about Christians, even in the Bay Area, that they're unintelligent, that they are automatically Republican, that they are Trump supporting, whatever the case. And even if you are Trump support, whatever it is, I know the stigmas that come. They hate the gay community. And so some of us are so fearful that we're no heavenly good. And yet what the third commandment wants to do is to free us to live and to honor and to revere his name, to hold dear his name, to respect his name. Name to hold it sacred, to hold it tightly. And the reason being is in the same way that Philippians chapter 2 reminds us that his name is above every name, his work is above every work. Because Jesus wrapped himself in flesh and he came down to our world. He lived the life that we could never live. And in every step, on every step of the way, Jesus honored the name of God. You can see it all over his ministry, everything Jesus would do. I'm doing so that I might honor and be obedient. It's about my Father. Are you living that way? And Jesus has now, from the cross of Calvary, more than 2,000 years ago, his obedience to shed his blood and to honor the name of his Father has now given us the ability to be obedient and to so live and to so speak and to so worship this name of God, to honor and to revere this name of God. Because God gets to say, in the same way that folks who own the name of Elvis, God is sending us out and he gets to authorize who lives out his name. He's sending us as his ambassadors of his goodness and his grace. Amen, church?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Use us, oh God. Help us to live out your name. Lord, help us to honor your name. Help us to respect your name, Lord Jesus. Lord God, I pray over our church. Lord, as we think about these commandments, I pray that we would not be burdened by rules, but I pray that you would help us through them to set our affections on Jesus. I pray, God, that you would show us that you have laid out a roadmap for us on who we ought to worship and how we ought to worship and how we are to speak about God and how we are to honor the covenant of marriage and to live in the way that you have called us to live and to let our yes be yes and our no be no and to not covet what our neighbors have. I pray, God, that you would use these commandments to point us to Jesus and to help us live as your church in the city, oh God. Pray you would do work on us, you would shape us, that when we walk out of this place, that honoring your name would be on our minds, that it would be imprinted upon our hearts, that you would so shape our very lives around honoring your name. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen.